We welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection, and today we are going to finish the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you could, let's turn together to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at the conclusion of the matter, the final section of this very interesting and very practical book. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse number 11. Here's what it says: "The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There's no end of much study as a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Now, when we come to this passage, we can give a very, very simple summary statement, and that is, after observing all of life, Solomon comes to one final conclusion: live a God-centered life. He says, "I've seen everything that there is to see. I have learned as much as I can learn in my lifetime. I've witnessed all kinds of things on every single extreme of life. And when I put it all together, I see that there's really one basic responsibility that we all have. And that responsibility is to fear God and keep his commandments." So let's walk through the facts that Solomon lays out in this passage, and then let's see kind of the last thing that we have to say about this book. The first fact that we find is this: wisdom brings correction and stability. We talked about this a little bit last time, but I want to read it again because I do think it kind of falls into this final section of the book. He says, "The words of the wise are goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." Now remember that Solomon is talking about the fact that when people are wise and they're trying to instruct those who are younger, who are coming behind them, people who need understanding in situations, that wise instruction kind of has two possible ways that it can affect people. The one is it serves like a goad. The idea is that someone is herding cattle along, trying to push them along, and when that animal gets out of line, he sticks them in the side with this goad, and the goad is meant to get that animal back on track. And so he's saying that the wisdom that we get from people who walk in a godly way and understand what's going on in life is that it corrects us when we get off base. He then talks about a nail that is fastening something, and the nail gives stability. So wisdom corrects our way when we're out of line, and wisdom gives us stability when we're going through challenges and difficulties. The second fact that he establishes in these final verses is that we're never going to figure out everything in life. He says in verse 12, "Further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." Now, I remember when I was a student, we used to laugh about this verse and say, "See, there's no point in studying for our exams because it just wears us out." Well, that's not the point that Solomon's making here. His point is that you will never come to an end of learning in this life. You will never figure everything out. If you set out at the beginning of your life to say, "I'm going to learn everything that there is to know, I'm going to ask every question that needs to be asked, I'm going to uncover every stone that's out there, I'm going to figure it all out," he's going to say, "Look, you won't. It's impossible. There's no end to the things that you need to learn. There's no end to the questions that you'll have come up. And there's no end to the theories that you'll be trying to figure out the rest of your life." You know, when people say that science is the answer, and they use it as if science is some infallible thing, the reality is all science is something that says, hey, we make theories, we try to analyze our theory by testing it, and then we have to correct our theory because we might find out our theory was wrong, or we might build on our theory because of what we observe. But the idea is that science changes constantly. The concept of asking questions and testing things and learning and making changes to how we understand something, that is something that we will never come to an end of. And that's really what he's saying. You will never figure out everything there is to figure out. So someone might say, well, then what's the point of life? What's the point? He says, here's the point. Let me give you the fundamental responsibility of every person. In other words, you won't figure everything out Fact number three, but there's one very simple, fundamental responsibility that you have. And here it is in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He says, you're not going to figure out everything that there is to figure out in life. But what you should figure out is that you need to live a God-centered life. You need to figure out that the way that you relate to God and the way that you view God is the most important thing that there is about you. When he says fear God, the idea is view God as he is. Have this healthy sense of awe and respect. Recognize he's sovereign. Recognize he's Lord. Recognize he's the creator. Recognize you're accountable to him. In other words, see him as he is. You need to view God properly. And so a person who goes through life and thinks that they are the chief end of life needs to recognize that they're wrong. It's God. He is the one that we should respect and honor and reverence. And so he emphasizes that. The second thing that he emphasizes is that we are not only to view God properly, but we're to relate properly to his authority. He says, keep his commandments. Obey God. In other words, if God says it's right, do it. If God says it's wrong, don't do it. And the bottom line is that when it comes to life, there's a lot we don't understand. But what we need to understand, we can understand. We need to view God properly. We need to relate properly to his authority. In other words, fear him, obey him. Let me give you a couple of thoughts that really kind of come alongside this issue. The first is this, the Bible is crystal clear. We were all created by God, and we were created for God. In other words, he has a purpose behind why we exist. And that purpose is something that we need to understand. He created us to love him and to know him and to enjoy him forever. And really, that's our chief end. We were created by him and for him. We see that his ways are best. If God's the one who created the world and he ordered it and established it to be a certain way, that means when he says don't do something, he knows why we're not supposed to do it. And when he says we're supposed to do something, he understands why we're supposed to do that. In other words, God's ways are best. God's ways work. And we need to submit to his ways. Third, our greatest satisfaction in a world that's full of disappointments is going to be a God who is good and right. In other words, what God does is right, who he is perfect, and if we want to find a sense of satisfaction in this world, we're not going to find it in a world that disappoints. We're going to find it in a God who doesn't. And finally, I'll say this, our greatest stability in a world that's full of so much uncertainty, so much chaos, so much that we really don't know, the greatest stability we can find is in a God who doesn't change. And we know that God's character is consistent. What he was when he created the world is what he is today. And what he was then and what he is today is what he will always be. God's nature is unchangeable. And so we can come to him and we can find stability. We can enjoy him and find satisfaction in him. And that's really what Solomon's saying. You can live for anything in this world. But if it's not God, you're going to find out that it does not satisfy and it does not give answers. And in the end, you will not find stability in that thing. The final thing that Solomon says is that God is going to hold us accountable for our actions. And this is really the reason why we need to fear him and obey him. In verse 14, he says, for here's the reason that he concludes that this is the whole matter. He says, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That means that it may appear that there's no justice in this world, but in the end, God is going to demonstrate his justice. It may appear that evil triumphs in this world, and evil may triumph for a season. But I want you to realize, in the end, God is going to establish himself as the righteous, sovereign Lord of all of his creation. In the end, God is going to establish an eternal kingdom that has everlasting righteousness. And so even though we look at justice and we see it thwarted and we look at evil and we see it triumphing, We need to recognize that in the end, God's going to establish His kingdom. And part of establishing His kingdom is establishing everlasting righteousness. That means He's going to judge the wicked, and He's going to vindicate the righteous. He's going to judge the wicked because if He doesn't, wickedness continues in this world. He's going to vindicate those whom He's redeemed. And by the way, that's important that we understand it's those who He's redeemed. The fact is, there's no reason for God to vindicate me unless He has saved me and rescued me, really, from my own depravity. If it wasn't for redemption and the gospel, if it wasn't for God cleansing me and forgiving me and declaring me His child, then really there would be no vindication for me because I would be one of the unrighteous. God's going to reward those who are faithful. Not only does God save us from our sin and cleanse us and declare us righteous and begin to transform us into the image of Christ, but the fact is when we have been faithful, God sees those things, and God's going to reward that faithfulness in the end. And the last thing I'm going to mention is this. God's going to restore His creation. You realize that the world as it is today is not how the world will be for eternity. God's going to destroy this corrupted world, and He's going to restore His creation. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, sorrow, or pain. He's going to establish the world as it was in the beginning. And so I want to remind you of Romans chapter 8, because the scriptures tell us this is a reality that we anticipate. It's a reality we look forward to. And it's a reality that sustains us through a troubling world. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, a broken world, a fallen world, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says, if we hope for what we see not, then what we do with patience, wait for it. I want to remind you that the simple conclusion to this entire book is view God properly and submit to His authority. In other words, if you're not a believer, God is calling you, God is commanding you to repent and to turn to His Son and to trust in His finished work. God wants to redeem you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to restore you to a right relationship with Him. And so when He says, fear God and keep His commandments, you cannot, you will not, apart from embracing the gospel. To God's children out there, those who've embraced the gospel, I want to remind you that if we will live faithfully in this fallen world, there's coming a day when God will vindicate us. There's coming a day when God is going to give us the blessings that come from a faithful life, and we will enjoy Him forever in His righteous eternal kingdom. I look forward to that day, don't you? This has been a great study in the book of Ecclesiastes. I hope you've been challenged and encouraged by it. I have. It's been practical to think about how to live in a fallen world, and in the end it reminds us that really our duty as people created in God's image is very simple. It's not complicated. We need to fear Him. We need to obey Him. We need to be properly related to our Creator. And I hope that you are today. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and then Lord willing, next week we're going to start a new study and a new portion of God's Word, and I hope that it'll be very challenging to you. Father, thank You for the opportunity to study the book of Ecclesiastes. I pray that You'd help us to recognize that our responsibility before You is a very simple one, is to live a God-centered life, one that has a biblical view of You, and one that relates properly to Your authority. And so I pray that You'd help us to do that. I pray that this would encourage people today. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to talk to you this morning. I hope you have a good weekend. And Lord willing, we will see you again next week. Bye now.